from the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to North America's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. Now, do you remember the movie I'm Not Rappaport? Well, the real John Rappaport joins us in a moment. The dangers of Teflon. Get ready for that. Next hour, by the way, John Lash. He's a scholar. He's a mythologist. 9 theories of extraterrestrial contact. But first, as we continue to report, now questioning the United Arab Emirates' track record in the war on terror, 7 U.S. lawmakers say they want a committee led by the Treasury Secretary John Snow to thoroughly review a deal that would let this UAE-based firm run 6 major U.S. ports. Simply saying, we're calling for a full 6-week investigation. It's a serious investigation, and the reason why this is critical is while maybe there's nothing wrong with this company, how do we know they're not infiltrated? That asked Senator Chuck Schumer, Democrat of New York. The United Arab Emirates has had people involved in terrorism. In fact, some of its financial institutions laundered the money for the 9/11 terrorists. And to just go ahead and treat this as another economic transaction is all wrong. Currently, the London-based Peninsular Oriental Steam Navigation Company, the 4th largest port operator in the world, runs 6 ports here in the United States. But the $6.8 billion sale of this company to the Dubai Ports World Company in the United Arab Emirates would effectively turn over North American operations to the government-owned company in Dubai. If the approval is unchallenged, Dubai Ports World would run the ports of New York, New Jersey, Baltimore, New Orleans, Miami, and Philadelphia. Russia's top military chief has warned the United States against launching a military strike against Iran, and a top diplomat voiced hope that close cooperation with China could help resolve the Tehran nuclear crisis. With tension mounting over Iran's nuclear programs, the chief of Russia's general staff, has warned the United States against attacking Iran. This is what he says. A military scenario can't be ruled out. Maybe they're just trying to flex their muscles. Who knows? President Bush says Vice President Dick Cheney responded just fine to questions about the accidental shooting of a friend during a hunting trip, calling it a terrible accident. Bush said Cheney is a man who likes to hunt and heard a bird flush and turned and pulled the trigger and saw his friend get wounded. Bush said, calling it a deep traumatic moment for both Cheney and his victim, Austin attorney Harry Whittington. Earlier in the day, the Kennedy County Sheriff's Department in Texas closed its investigation and reported that no charges will be filed against the vice president. Meanwhile, a Colorado man who laughed Monday when he first read about Vice President Dick Cheney shooting a hunting companion was himself injured just hours later when he was accidentally blasted by his girlfriend in his own hunting mishap. I read that thing about the vice president and said to myself, how can you shoot your friend with your gun? Look what happened to me. Josh Kaiser of Lafayette, Colorado, saying that. Greenland's southern glaciers have accelerated their march to the Atlantic Ocean over the past decade and now contribute more to the global rise in sea levels than previously estimated, according to researchers. They say those faster-moving glaciers, along with increased melting, could account for nearly 17% of the estimated 0.1 inch annual rise in global sea levels, or twice what was previously believed. NASA's Cassini spacecraft is tracking an intense lightning storm on Saturn. The powerful bolts are causing the spacecraft's radio instruments to crackle, much like the crackles you might hear coming from your car's AM radio when you drive by a thunderstorm on good old planet Earth. Now, what you are about to hear is 28 seconds of this crackle. It's really 2 hours long. It's been speeded up, but this is what it sounds like coming from Saturn. It's amazing what they can get and record out there in space. A group of scientific advisors to the Environmental Protection Agency has voted unanimously now to approve a recommendation that a chemical used in the manufacture of Teflon and other non-stick and stain-resistant products should be considered a likely carcinogen. It's called C8. C8 is a processing agent used in the manufacturing of fluoropolymers, which have been a wide variety of product applications, including nonstick cookware. How dangerous is this? In a moment, our guest, John Rappaport, on Coast to Coast AM. John Rappaport has worked as an investigative reporter for more than 20 years. He's the author of 5 books. He has written on medical fraud, deep politics, and health issues for newspapers and magazines, both in the United States and Europe. We turn to him whenever there's a major story, and we've got one now with this Teflon chemical. John, welcome back to Coast to Coast. How are you?
Great. How about you, George?
Good. Well, I think I'm going to have to toss out some of my old pots and pans, Mr. Rappaport.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to have to do that. The EPA is saying, a panel of the EPA is saying it's a likely carcinogen. This has been, you know, known for quite some time. It's not great new news or bad new news, but it's been really kept under the rug for a long time. And, of course, DuPont, being the major manufacturer in the world, has tremendous political connections in order to do this. The most troubling thing is that there have been reports, many substantiated for years, of birds dying in cages in kitchens where Teflon is used in pans. And tests have been done, and rats also in experiments the same. So when a chemical used under ordinary circumstances, according to these experiments, kills small animals, you have to, you know, pay some serious attention to this.
So you mean, though, the birds would be in their cages, maybe in the kitchen, right? And then people would be cooking on their Teflon pots and pans, heating them up, and the birds would die.
Exactly. The birds would die. Now, according to DuPont, you would have to be heating up the pans to some enormous temperature, say 500 to 600 degrees, in order to get this release of toxic chemicals from the pans. There's debate about this, but a test was done, I believe, by the Environmental Working Group, where they claim that you can get a pan to heat up to 750 degrees in 8 minutes at high heat. So, regardless of what the temperature necessary is to actually kill the animals, these pans can burn very high, and it's not just when you forget about it and leave it on high and walk away and do something else for a half hour. But, you know, this hasn't been factored into the equation, and of course it should be. So are people at risk? I would certainly say that they are, especially when they're cooking day in and day out with these pans, and, you know, are doing it at home in their kitchen, I mean, where they live.
You know, I've noticed, too, John, some of my old pots and pans that I've just had for a long time, and they're Teflon-coated, and I'm going to get rid of them, but they have shown some wear where it looks like the Teflon or whatever that coating is has kind of, like, eroded away. Mm-hmm. That's not a good sign either, then, is it?
I wouldn't think so. And also, they scratch pretty easily. I've made a mistake a couple of times of cooking eggs with a fork, you know, and stirring around, and have noticed that you get scratches. And
so you've used this too?
Oh yeah. I mean, until recently, when I began to realize that, looking into this story of what the significance of the threat is, in December of last year, DuPont was fined somewhere between $10 and $15 million all told for concealing the effects of Teflon for more than 20 years.
You've got to be kidding me.
You know, about what the health effects are of this particular chemical, which is called C8, PFOA. It's the same thing. And also, they covered up the effects of the pollution of water supplies in the West Virginia area around a couple of plants where, you know, coatings are manufactured. So this is a landmark suit in terms of federal government enforcement, which is not very big against these kinds of companies. But from what I've read, it's the highest dollar value on such an, you know, an EPA enforcement type action.
I noticed that of all the scientists on what they call the PFOA committee, this acid, as you call C8, only one person showed any significant criticism of this report. And this report, of course, said that it is a likely carcinogen. His name is James Buss. He's a toxicologist and, of course, works for the Dow Chemical Company.
Yeah, so he's sticking to the party line. Now, according to research, this chemical, C8, is present in 95% of people studied around the world.
Already?
In some trace form. And so it's gotten everywhere. I mean, it isn't just a question of, you know, it's just sitting only in the pots and pans.
Well, John, how long does this stay in our system? I mean, we've been cooking for years with Teflon. Obviously, knock on wood, and thank God, no signs of any potential problems yet. But, all right, so if I stop tomorrow, throw these pots and pans away, and quite frankly, I'd like to get a check from DuPont or somebody. But if we stop altogether, go out and get new pots and pans, how long does this C8 stuff stay in our system?
That's unknown. I mean, according to DuPont, and this sounds, you know, rather foolish on the surface of it, and to say the least, they claim that these flakes, as they call it, of Teflon material pass through the body very quickly. But this does not seem to be bolstered by the fact that so many people have been found to have this particular C8 chemical in their bodies. Most chemicals like this tend to accumulate over time and slowly build up, stored in the fat. And so people, you know, should be thinking in terms of detox, of getting rid of chemicals like this through, you know, more natural means, as opposed to just waiting around, because I see no guarantee or evidence in the literature, and I'm not the only one who would say this, that these substances in Teflon just simply flush through the body. I would say that, judging by other chemicals, the tendency would be to accumulate. So, although you may not see an immediate effect, over time, there definitely could be problems.
What would you do with your old Teflon pots and pans? I don't want to give them to somebody else. So what do you do, just throw them in the garbage?
Well, that's another good question. I mean, you want to get rid of them. I don't know exactly what happens to them when they get into landfills and the like, or how they could be destroyed. I mean, you certainly don't want to try burning them at high heat. That's about the last thing you want to do. So that becomes another major unknown here as to how to dispose of them. But you don't want to mess with them in the kitchen, and I certainly wouldn't give them to anybody else. I mean, the world is awash in these substances. And when I began to research the kinds of products where this C8 product is used, I mean, we're talking candy bar wrappers, French fry containers,
oh my God,
auto fuel systems, firefighting foam, phone cables, computer chips, clothing, popcorn bags, pizza delivery boxes. It's everywhere.
Well,
everywhere.
I hope they get rid of it. Now, I guess you got to give these scientific advisors some kudos for unanimously approving this recommendation. That this is a likely carcinogen. Now let's give it some teeth. What are they going to do next with this, John?
Well, they're claiming that the EPA is kind of not my most favorite agency because they tend to be extremely restrained on these things, obviously influenced by industry.
Mm-hmm.
And they're stating that DuPont is going to eliminate 95% of its use of this chemical, C8, in the next 3 years.
Voluntarily?
Voluntarily.
Hmm.
And then all of it will be gone by 2015. So the trouble with this voluntary action is that it's not necessarily monitored to see if it's really going to happen. And my estimate is that when a company the size of DuPont gives way like that, I'm very suspicious, because what I suspect is, and this has happened in other situations, they have something ready to replace it already in the pipeline. Because
good point.
They're sitting there figuring, okay, so we phase this out, and now we put another chemical in here, which we claim
is better.
Is completely safe.
Yeah.
And now people will begin to object to that, starting in, say, 2009 or 10. And then we will stonewall that for a number of years. I mean, they've done a job on this of at least 20 years of stonewalling on C8. So they will perhaps think that they can stonewall for another 20 years on the next product. And therefore, with the cost, risk analysis, blah, blah, they will say, okay, in the end, we'll have to pay another fine, and we'll remove that from the market, and so on and so forth. So I would not say that, you know, this is a grand gesture, and people should look past this, because this is what chemical companies tend to do.
Do you see a class action suit here, like, you know, the tobacco industry was faced with?
There is a small body of people right now who has a suit on this issue, and it began last July, and so far I have found no resolution of it, so it's obviously still in the courts. But no, I don't see anything approaching the scope of tobacco here.
I just thought of something. I will take my old pots and pans, put them in a box, and ship them back to DuPont and just say, I want my check. I want a refund.
See what happens.
What do you think?
Let me know.
I think I'm going to do that.
In fact, let everybody know what happens.
Everybody should just send their Teflon pots and pans back to DuPont and ask for a very polite refund.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And then if you would let people know what happens, that would be quite interesting to see what their reaction is.
I think I'm going to do that. I'll include a nice little letter and just say, in view of this study, I think it is wise that I don't continue using this for my friends and family and self, and give me that. So what are we replacing with? Stainless steel? What's out there?
That would be my first choice. Some people prefer to cook on cast iron. There are some arguments on both sides of whether that gives people too much iron in their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Then other people say that, well, people in the U.S. tend to be depleted in iron. That would be my choice. There may be better alternatives I don't know about, but that would be where I would go with this.
I just thought of something too, John. What about restaurants? How many restaurants are using this Teflon?
Oh, I would say, you know, you couldn't even begin to count the number of restaurants that are using it, because it is so much easier to cook that way with the non-stick surfaces and all of that. And then you've got manufacturers, let's say, of popcorn bags. I mean, how much of that material is lying around now that even if they were to stop tomorrow putting that substance inside the bags, I mean, what, you know, how long would the bags continue to go out on the market? So, you know, and the funny thing is,
this is a huge story.
Oh, yeah, it's gigantic. I mean, it doesn't quit. When you look at the list of all these products and how far it goes out into the society, I mean, if somebody from the firefighting community wanted to get really interested in this because it's in firefighting foam, and, I mean, people get real up close and personal with that stuff in fires, they could create, you know, quite a story just on that count alone.
John, let's open up the phone lines and also talk with you about the bird flu. Where's the pandemic, by the way, John Rappaport? It's not here, is it?
91 deaths at the most, they claim so far.
But worldwide.
By the propaganda, you would think it was 9 million by now.
We'll be back in a moment. John Rappaport will flip the switch. Phone lines are open, too. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, if you're still interested in the Predictions television show and you haven't had an opportunity to see it, well, go to www.predictions.tv. You can watch it right over your computer, or you can get the DVD. It's your choice, but just go to the website and have some fun. Predictions.tv. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. John Rappaport, our guest this hour, will take your phone calls. John, the bird flu, what's going on? What's the latest? I don't see the pandemic that they were screaming and yelling all about.
No, in fact, there's an interesting connection between that and this Teflon story we were just discussing, because some wild birds have died over the years. For example, there were lots of wild birds that died over a facility or near a facility that makes this coated cookware in Scarborough, Canada. That happened in August of 96. And there have been other instances where the same kind of thing has happened. And, of course, it's very convenient in recent times to call this bird flu. In fact, there's a great journalist named Jim West who pointed out to me in a very detailed fashion, and he's published on this on the internet, that in Turkey and also on the border there with Iran, when they started talking about bird flu cases in those kids who died, at the same time, something like 2 million school children in Turkey in that region were kept out of school because they had such heavy industrial pollution in the air. This, of course, went unreported
right.
in the press.
Right. I was going to say, we don't hear about that.
Yeah, right. So the lung problems that would naturally come about through that kind of pollution, they were calling it bird flu or suspected bird flu. And this has gone on and on and on, where you have conditions that have nothing to do with anything resembling a virus suddenly being put under that particular label. And, of course, there's enormous pressure in these governments of other countries to make that diagnosis, because if the World Health Organization gets in there and even suspects that they might be able to say, oh, bird flu, and the doctors at the hospitals and the public health authorities aren't naming it that, then they get very angry and there are repercussions. And so everybody is pressured to take the latest fad label and put it on any old lung problems that people come into the hospital with, and that is continuing. So now the scare is going through Europe that this is spreading and so on into all kinds of new countries, and there is absolutely nothing in the mainstream press that is showing that this is really a medical scientific hoax and that it's a propaganda scare.
You know, what's so funny, too, John, is in this country, I don't hear the CDC saying anything about the normal flu this year. I mean, I haven't heard anything.
That's right. And I think the reason is very clear. It's because their PR department has decided that they want to put all of their eggs, so to speak, in the bird flu basket. They don't want to start confusing the public about ordinary flu versus bird flu. They want to keep promoting the bird flu. There is no other reason not to do their standard propaganda for the flu season, but you're absolutely right. We've heard nothing about that, and that's exactly why. And it shows the degree to which PR and propaganda, as opposed to science, are ruling the day. It's totally absurd, and reporters, of course, in their usual lackadaisical fashion, haven't picked up on it. They're not asking the CD, how come you're not talking about regular flu this year? It's just nothing happening.
To the phones we go. Let's pick it up by going to our wild card line. Where are you calling from? Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Mike in Ithaca.
Oh, hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Hi, John. The reason I'm calling is I was growing up in the 60s. My mom was during that time and spent most of her working career working for a gastroenterologist as a medical technician and a nurse. She's actually worked for several, but most of her career was working for one in particular. And she had several other medical jobs as well, but most of it was working for GI doctors. And when the Teflon came out in the 60s, I remember my mother didn't get it. And I asked her why, because that's what advertised. She says, oh, that stuff causes stomach cancer. There's a definite correlation between people getting stomach cancer and using that stuff. And I guess they noticed it in the office, and they started advising patients against using it, as well as their staff. I'm surprised people didn't catch on even more. I'm even surprised that they still sell that stuff. But they do, evidently.
What a great story.
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah, this should be, you know, there's a combination of that and this program. People should be putting more research, just in the past records, just looking through people's records. You don't have to actually use people as guinea pigs. You can just look at the records of what people did and what they came, you know, epidemiological study. And I think it might be very clear cut to a lot of people after that.
And that just shows you how long the, you know, the cover has been kept on this story. You're talking about the 60s now, so that's, you know, say 40 years ago, that people were aware of what was going on, and yet it takes a lot of stonewalling, a lot of press relations, a lot of rigged scientific studies, et cetera, to keep the products that are toxic on the market and away from any kind of bad publicity. So, that's what happens. That's why these products are still with us.
You know, John, a small, obscure story that we picked up on and led with it is now going to become a major news story that has to do with that United Arab Emirates company that is going to take over control of 6 U.S. shipping ports. It was just a small little story that I noticed in a Middle Eastern website. And we ran with it, and sure enough, it is now a major story. There's going to be a major congressional investigation into this, and I'm not going to say it's all because of us, but, you know, for some reason, this program begins to become on the cutting edge. You know, it breaks some of these big stories.
Absolutely. And I mean, with the gigantic listening audience that you have, people have to sit up and pay attention, and they begin to look at what's going on here. You know, I have just begun to notice a very faint bit of coverage in the press a day or two after I posted a story, simply pointing out the obvious fact that Dick Cheney is a heart patient, that he has to be taking a number of medications for that kind of condition, cholesterol, heart,
sure,
et cetera. And I just went to, you know, the medical texts and began to look up the warnings and precautions about the typical types of medications. They refuse to reveal which ones they are in his case. And listen, all of them, not just one of them, all of them say exercise caution when operating machinery, driving a car, or doing anything else hazardous.
Or shooting a shotgun.
Yeah, I mean, that's operating machine. And if just one of the medications had that warning, that would be enough. But I looked up 6 or 7 of them, and they all contain the same warning. And, of course, if you mix it with alcohol, that becomes exacerbated. But even without alcohol...
Not going to say he was drinking, though. Can't say that, right?
Well, he said he had a beer at lunch.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
He told that to Britt Hume on Fox.
Okay, I didn't catch that.
So, you know, and this is the kind of thing where stories start out small, and sometimes people catch on. I hope in the case of this Teflon thing that, you know, it becomes more than just a blip on the radar, because it's affecting hundreds of millions of people.
And what's so sad, as you have said, this has been around for a long time. A lot of people have known about this.
Yeah. I mean, as this caller said, how many doctors have realized it? How many patients? How many... I've read accounts today on the internet of people who are operating kitchens, or they're really great cooks at home and that kind of thing. Well, they've obviously been onto this for a very long time, and yet nobody takes any real action. Nobody really looks into it. And now, hopefully, a lot more people become aware of it.
First time caller line, welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Paul.
Hi, Paul.
I'm calling from Billings, and I called. Oh, good evening, John.
Hi.
I've worked in several kitchens through my life, from fast food restaurants to some pretty nice places, and I haven't seen a Teflon pan in any of them.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, well, all food quality pans in restaurants are made out of stainless steel or aluminum. And when you really look at the Teflon pans, they're cheesy. They're not very well made, and there's no reason to buy it for a professional use.
And I would assume a good chef wants to have the best equipment.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And aluminum pans, stainless steel, give the food a better flavor. They season where Teflon does not season.
Okay, good. That's good to know that. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, in fact, it might be a good idea the next time people go to a restaurant to say.
Ask them, yeah.
What are you cooking with back there?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if they say, well, you're cooking with Teflon, so I want to know. And if you are, we're going to drive somewhere else.
Well, hey, you know, people are asking now if their beef is organic. You might as well ask, what are you cooking on, too?
Right.
You've got a right to do that. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Yeah.
Hey, John.
Hi.
I worked at a few of the fine dining aspects of the restaurant business, and we've always used copper or aluminum also. I wanted to comment on that.
That's a good sign, then.
And I want to know, have you tested what a Teflon pan, when it reaches a certain point, it starts smoking, and it'll actually give off a smoke or a chemical? Do you know what's in that chemical when it totally releases that Teflon and there's nothing left on that pan?
I don't know about that. You mean you take a pan that's completely coated with Teflon and you heat it up so
hot that it releases the smoke? I've seen pans actually do that. Burn off, and I just didn't know if a pan did that, what would be in that chemical that came off that pan?
It's an acid, John,
oh, yeah,
isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely this PFOA, or sometimes called C8. You know, when the temperature gets high enough,
right,
and that's what, you know, the argument is about. I mean, like I said earlier, I think it was the Environmental Working Group tested out a pan. They claim that in 8 minutes at high heat, you will get up to 750 degrees. Well, that's more than enough to start releasing this chemical. And there are other reports that it really doesn't take that temperature at all to do that, that under more or less normal conditions, you will get some release of this chemical.
Chairman of the panel also said in their report that there was an unpublished study in the 1980s linking this chemical to mammary tumors in laboratory rats, and unpublished because they didn't want anybody to know about it, I guess.
Yeah, and there was also another study. There were, in fact, a number of studies back in 1981 that this chemical is transmitted through the placenta to the fetus.
Oh, my.
Yep, absolutely.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, my name is David. I'm calling from Pacific Beach, California.
Hi, David.
Hello, gentlemen. I have two comments. I no longer use Teflon because I made the same observation. What's this coming off my pan? I switched to a better pan, and the pan I use the most late is an aluminum-based pan, unlike the cheesier aluminum pans that I've seen out there, and it's Teflon, and supposedly the chefs use it and whatnot, and the thing is, there's Teflon that I've seen that has what also looks like some sort of a Teflon coating. However, the one that I have is supposed to be a heavy-duty anodized surface. There's no coating at all, and it's a heavy pan, and you're not supposed to really, you don't have to really season it that much. However, my concern is still the aluminum content. That's one, because again, I have heard about aluminum in people's autopsy, their brains,
right,
that have Alzheimer's. The other question or comment I'm hoping that he can maybe, you know, answer, is that it's related environmentally, is the issue about the water in the Florida. I understand that the unions for the EPA, the unions, mind you, are calling for a U.S.-wide ban on fluoride, and it's my understanding that the industry gets paid a subsidy to dump this stuff out of our water, and yet they charge the city money.
That's true.
Yeah, so it's very, very, very insidious. So can you comment on those two? Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay.
Sure. Well, of course, aluminum being a heavy metal, like other heavy metals, certainly does cause damage in the body. The way, quote, scientists have gotten around this is they like to compartmentalize and call one type of damage by one disease name and another by another and so on. And so they like to show that they've studied a certain number of patients who have been diagnosed with, quote, Alzheimer's, and, quote, they find no connection. But that is just sort of leading people around by a string, because the more fundamental fact is that all heavy metals in the body are bad. They may show up in different ways, they may manifest in different ways, but people have to think about detoxing from heavy metals, no matter what they are. And in the case of fluorides, I saw that letter, the original letter from William Hersey, I believe his name is, H-I-R-Z-Y, representing a considerable union at the EPA, and this letter goes back, I'm going to say, at least 10 years, maybe more, stating that the union was absolutely against fluoridation and saw no scientific benefit and only hazard from it. And people in the anti-fluoride movement have been trying to get this gigantic story out for years to the mainstream press. And the LA Times, I know for a fact, was considering running something on it, but then they backed away and claimed that they were not quite sure of how many votes were cast this way and that way in the union. But it's obvious that the major union of scientists at the EPA are completely opposed to fluoridation. It's an amazingly huge story, and yet nobody in the mainstream is covering it.
Let's go last caller, John, wildcard line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Pat, and I live in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Go ahead, Pat.
And I'm an old broad and been around for a while and have read, and I've raised a family pretty large. I read all kinds of stuff going way back. I was first alerted to Teflon by Prevention Magazine, and I would say that goes back into the 60s that occurred. I was using Teflon. The thing that bothered, one of the things that bothered me about that was in using metal spatulas and what have you on there, you get the little chips up. Well, those little chips were getting into the food, I finally realized, and that made me very unhappy. So I quit using them totally. Went to cast iron, which has been around forever and ever. Works very well.
I need a question, though, dear, because, Pat, we're almost out of time.
I know. Very recently on a cook show, the lady recommended using titanium-lined pans. She said they are very new, just coming out now, and there's no way that you're going to get the titanium off of the metal of the pan.
Can you recommend that, John? They're pretty expensive, I would guess.
Yeah, you know, I'm not quite sure about the titanium stuff. I think they also contain nickel, but I couldn't swear to that. And some people have allergies to nickel, but beyond that, I couldn't really say.
All right, John Rappaport, nomorefakenews.com. What's the latest on your website?
Well, I'm going to be doing a telephone workshop, actually, in March on mind control. So when people go to No More Fake News, they'll see a whole bit about that, and going to really get into that subject in depth.
Okay, very good. Thanks for these updates, John.
Thank you very much, George.
Appreciate it. John Rappaport always gets to the news for us. In a moment, we're going to talk with John Lash. We're going to talk about what he believes to be 9 theories of extraterrestrial contact. So get ready for that. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.